This is episode 9 for the week of September 17th to September 23rd. Hello and welcome back. Thank you for joining me this week. This week, I have a book review that you may find informative. This book is called Ubuntu Linux by Keir Thomas and published by A-Press. For those of you who are new to this podcast is dedicated to helping new users get comfortable with Ubuntu and Linux in general, as well as give information to potential users in order to help them get over their fears of switching to a new operating system. Inside, I'll have some news, comments, and emails, and then I'll begin my main segment. Okay, our first item is from reallylinux.com, and it's an article called Killing the Five Myths Against Linux. Myth number one, Linux is hard to install, especially if I'm not sure I want to keep it, but just try it out. We all know that this is not true, especially Ubuntu users. I've heard that you can install Ubuntu in about 30 minutes. Now, I know sometimes it'll be better, other times it was worse. And the article went on to state that most Windows users have not installed their own Windows operating system. Most of them bought the operating system pre-installed, so they don't know how difficult it is to install a Windows operating system on a computer. Also, the second point was that if you're not sure you really want to use it and you just want to try it out, many of the distributions have a live CD. You can just pop in the CD, play with the desktop and all its features before they install the operating system. Myth number two, Linux is free and therefore unsupported. Linux is free for a different reason. It's free in the way that maybe a bird is free to fly, or in a way that we are free to voice our opinions. In terms of free software, we're able to do with the software whatever we want. And that is the term free, not necessarily cheap or you don't have to pay any money for it. And secondly, unsupported is really very wrong. If many of you have been onto the Ubuntu forums, you're able to get plenty of help and resources, and also they have commercial service plans for Ubuntu, and many of the Linux distributions have this as well. So the notion that Linux is free and unsupported is a true myth in every sense of the word. Myth number three, Linux is for techies and does not have an interface like Windows. Again, really another myth. They have user interfaces such as GNOME, KDE, XFCE, and those are the interfaces that Ubuntu uses. A couple of other ones that I've heard, Enlightenment and Fluxbox, all possible interfaces, graphical user interfaces that Linux is able to use and Ubuntu is able to use as well. So there are many other graphical user interfaces very much like Windows. I don't know where that myth may have started. Could have started a long time ago where everything was command line interface commands, but that is not entirely the case anymore. Myth number four, there's not much software developed for Linux available. Well, you know, yes and no. In terms of your magnitude, Windows probably has tens of thousands of software that could be supported in the Windows environment. However, in terms of quality, I would say it's, you know, relatively close to Windows. In certain aspects, Linux software exceeds Windows software in several respects in terms of, you know, the free use of your software, first and foremost, I think. And it doesn't cost anything, okay? In terms of quality, it does relatively the same things. Now, I agree that there are some things, certain programs, that you would rather run on Windows than you would on Linux. However, in this day and age, with lots of Windows-type emulation software, Wine, for instance, W-I-N-E, it's a Windows environment for Linux, and that enables you to run Windows software on your Linux machine, and therefore on your Ubuntu system. That myth is slowly becoming old, which is, the last myth. I have to give up all my Windows software. Again, very wrong. Wine is the one that I have on my system that enables me to use Quicken. Sedega is another one. I believe you have to pay for Sedega. A lot of the gamers like to put Sedega on their system. Again, it's a complete myth. You can keep a lot of your Windows software, install emulation software for your Linux. I gave you a couple of examples right there. Sedega, Wine, Win4Lin. So, complete myths. I think we've killed those five myths. On to our next news item. Someone has created an Ubuntu Live CD with a Flash 9 that works, a Flash Player 9. Flash Player 9 has recently just come out, and this gentleman put Flash Player 9 and made it work on his Live CD and bundled that Live CD, and that's available for download, I believe. I have a link to his website, and I'll put that link into my show notes, which will be at freshubuntu.blogspot.com. Also, I will have another link as well for some free Linux and Unix books online. I was on the website freecomputerbooks.com, and looking around in there, they had some really excellent references. For instance, they have some with Unix and Linux networking, Unix and Linux security, system administration, shell programming. All are free, all free for download or to peruse. Check out the site and leave me a comment to see if you like it. If you don't like it, I apologize. It may be useful. I found a couple of things in there that were fairly useful. And it also has a few things that are not entirely related to Linux or Unix or Ubuntu at all. For instance, this one, it has under the miscellaneous tag, Handbook for Bloggers and Cyber Dissidents. here's another one, 55 Ways to Have Fun with Google. And that really sounds interesting. I may read that later. So check it out. It's at freecomputerbooks.com. I will post the link in my show notes at freshubuntu.blogspot.com. And the last noteworthy piece of news, EdgyEFT Knot 3 is out. And I will leave a link to that in my show notes as well. The GUI I thought was very, very interesting. And I will be quite honest with you, EdgyEFT looks much, much nicer than Dapper did in terms of what is packaged on the default installation. Looks really nice. The windows are rounded off, the edges are rounded off a la OS X. The desktop wallpaper is kind of reminds me of a surrealist kind of artwork. A very nice step up. The shade of brown is a little bit different, which I think is a step in the right direction. I'm partial to blue for some odd reason. I think it's my many years of being a Windows user. It'll fade away one of these days. But EdgyEFT is out, Knot 3. You can download it. It's beta testing. Download it now and submit some bugs if you want to. This is scheduled for release in a few weeks, actually. It's Ubuntu 6.10. The Ubuntu community at large is able to download this and submit any bugs and any feedback that you might want to give them. There you have it, our news for this week. And now let's go to our comments. The allegedly mythical humanoid is a gnome. Sounds like gnome, N-O-M-E. But the GNU Network Object Model Environment, i.e. GNOME, is officially pronounced GNOME out of deference to GNUs, not Unix, G-N-U, which started the whole hard G thing. Of course, we shouldn't ridicule those who skip the G. And he left a link on there for the FAQ. And there you go. Right out of the official Linux Unix application FAQ. Hard G. Yeah, okay. So now I'm confused. But I guess I'll just say it with a hard G. I've been saying it with a hard G ever since. So it's hard to break old habits, I guess. Then I received an email from a person named Chris. And he said to me, I just decided to convert an unused laptop over to Ubuntu. I've never tried something quite so machine-altering before, and I was a little nervous. I found your podcast today, and I couldn't be happier. I'm feeling pretty confident now, not that I'll do everything perfectly, but that I should dig in and see what happens. Your tips and guidance are perfectly timed. Thank you so much for your podcast and for blazing the trail. And I wrote to him, thanks, Chris. I was a lot like you. I had an old laptop around and then decided to give it a go. And I have to say, first off, great minds think alike. And second, easing into Ubuntu for four first-time users is wholeheartedly recommended. But soon you will be hooked like I was. It's great to hear from you, and thanks for the compliment. Regards. Okay, that's it for news, emails, and comments. I hope you check out the links that I mentioned. They will be available at freshubuntu.blogspot.com. I hope you visit, check out some of the links. Also, if you are on my website, please feel free to leave a comment, good or bad. Hopefully good. So anyway, thank you. Hopefully you can come and visit sometime this week. And now on to our main segment. Today's book, I will be reviewing Beginning Ubuntu Linux, From Novice to Professional. The author is Keir Thomas, and the publisher is A-Press. The book is separated into seven parts, not including the appendix and the index. The first part is called Introducing the World of Linux. Part 2 is Installing Ubuntu. Part 3 is the No-Nonsense Getting Started Guide. Part 4 is The Shell and Beyond. And Part 5 is Multimedia. Part 6 is Office Tasks. And Part 7 is Keeping Your System Running. All the parts are in logical order. Of course, giving you a brief history of Linux and the reality of running Linux, all the way up to managing users and managing other more complicated things, and also using other software packages, office productivity packages as well. Let's go through each of the parts chapter by chapter. Let's go through the parts, and I'll give you the names of each of the chapters in those parts. In part one, we have chapter one, a welcome chapter. Chapter two, a history and politics lesson. Chapter 3, The Realities of Running Linux. And in Part 2, we have Chapter 4, Pre-Installation Steps. Chapter 5, Installing Ubuntu. Chapter 6, Solving Installation Problems. Chapter 7, which is part of Part 3. Chapter 7, Booting Ubuntu for the First Time. Chapter 8, Getting Everything Up and Running. Chapter 9, How to Secure Your Computer. Chapter 10, Personalizing Ubuntu. Chapter 11, Ubuntu Replacements for Windows. Chapter 12, Managing Your Files. And in Part 4, The Shell and Beyond, this includes Chapters 13 through 17. Chapter 13 is Introducing the Bash Shell, or the Command Line Interface. Chapter 14, Understanding Linux Files, Chapter 15, Working with Text Files, Chapter 16, Taking Control of Your System, and Chapter 17, Cool Shell Tricks. Part 5 is all about multimedia. In Chapter 18, you're dealing with digital music. Chapter 19, Movies and Multimedia. Chapter 20, Image Editing. Part 6 is all about office productivity. Chapters 21, Making the Move to OpenOffice. Chapter 22, An Overview of OpenOffice. Chapter 23, in-depth chapter about the word processor, Writer. Chapter 24 is about the spreadsheet application, Calc. Chapter 25 is their presentation software called Impress. And chapter 26 is their database application, Base. And, of course, their mail program, Evolution, is chapter 27. And the last chapter in this part, chapter 28, Running Microsoft Office under Ubuntu. Let's see what's in part 7. Part 7 is installing other software in chapter 29. Chapter 30 is managing users. Chapter 31, optimizing your system. Chapter 32, backing up data. Chapter 23, scheduling tasks. Chapter 34, accessing computers remotely. Now I'm going to read for you a little excerpt from the book. This is from Chapter 2, A History and Politics Lesson, and it's called Different Flavors of Linux. And it goes, all the pieces of GNU software were available for free download and were therefore free of charge. But this brought its own problems. Not everyone had the know-how to put all the bits and pieces together into a complete operating system. Those who could do this didn't necessarily have the time for it. Because of this, a number of companies stepped in to do the hard work. They put together versions of Linux complete with all the software from the GNU project, which they then sold for a fee on floppy disks, CDs, or DVDs. They also added in bits of their own software, which made it possible to install Linux easily onto a computer's hard disk. For example, they produced their own manuals and documentation, and did other things such as bug testing to ensure it all worked well. What they came up with became known as distributions of Linux, or distros for short. Examples of these companies include Red Hat, SUSE, Mandrake, and many others around the world. Additionally, a number of enthusiasts got together and formed organizations to create their own distros, such as Debian and Slackware. Modern distros are very advanced. They make it easy to install Linux on your PC, and they usually come with everything you need so you can get started immediately. Additionally, they have their own look and feel as well as unique ways of working and operating. This means that Ubuntu is not the same as Red Hat Linux, for example, although they share a lot of common features and, of course, they all share the core GNU software. So that at least ought to give you a little excerpt and a little example of the way the writing is. It is certainly not like one of those Four Dummies type of beginning handbook things. The writing is a little more straightforward and a little drier than what I would like personally. But then again, I never judge a book by its writing. I always, especially with technology books, I judge technology books by the content that's inside them. So this book takes you right from the beginning of the history straight into planning for your installation and then moving, you're migrating from, say, a Windows environment onto the Ubuntu system. And it does that quite well. Just one caution, if you do happen to buy this book came out when Breezy Badger came out, 5.10, Ubuntu 5.10, and all of the references to Ubuntu are for Ubuntu 5.10. Now, this is the year 2006, and the next release coming out is going to be EDGIEFT, which is Ubuntu 6.10. So it's been about a year. With that being said, perhaps some of the first part of this book, especially chapter 4, 5, and 6, will have some discrepancies in terms of installation. However, the pre-installation steps may still be relevant in your situation. But then again, chapter 5 and 6, installing Ubuntu and solving installation problems, will probably be very different from what you might experience today. However, that being said, I myself installed Dapper Drake, and I ended up having to do the text installation method, which is very similar to the Breezy Badger installation method. It all certainly depends on what kind of system that you're installing on, how much memory your system has, and how old your system is. So on newer systems, you might be able to get away with using the graphical user interface type of installation method, whereas older systems, especially those with less than 192 or less than 256 megabytes of RAM, will most certainly have to use the text installation method or the alternate install method. And just going down the line, this will get you up and running with relatively little downtime from just after installation. It'll take you straight into booting up Ubuntu for the very first time, having you get familiar with the GNOME user interface, and then trying to get everything up and running, especially your wireless connection to the internet. There have been issues with that in the past, although I didn't have very much of an issue with it. But then again, it could be different for very many users. If many of you are new, I did actually two podcasts on Chapter 9, How to Secure Your Computer, and it's the prior two podcasts to this one. It's episodes number 7 and 8, How to Secure Your Computer. And then I also did a podcast about Chapter 11, although I did not use this book as a reference, Ubuntu Replacements for Windows Programs. Can't remember offhand what episode that was, but if you check it out on the at the website freshubuntu.blogspot.com, you should be able to download it. Part 4 is something that looks really very interesting. I did as well a command line podcast, a very simple one, and basically I taught you how to list all the files in a certain directory and moving from one directory to another. Renaming and moving files, really very basic things. In the book, it will probably go in much deeper. Chapter 13 introduces the command line, and then it gives you a chapter on understanding Linux files and the users in those in the Linux environment and how to work with text files. Part 5, well, in this day and age as well, is a very politically charged, socially and economically charged type of topics. It is dealing with multimedia. Chapter 18 deals with digital music. Now, the default codec for Ubuntu is, as many of you who are using it well know, is the Ogg Vorbis file. However, the musical standard nowadays, or the sound standard at this point, is the MP3 file format. Again, I must say it's a sort of a politically charged type of topic. I know that there are a lot of people who are very passionate about digital music and digital rights to music, and I can see both sides of it. I choose to remain outside of the debate at this point, even though I do have my own opinions about it. Chapter 18 deals with installing codecs and listening to music through various types of software that's available under Ubuntu. Chapter 19 as well also is dealing with a very politically charged, economically and socially charged topic, movies and multimedia. Much like the chapter before it, it deals with listening to and watching and viewing movies and multimedia files, as well as installing the codecs for watching the popular file formats that are available to the user nowadays. Chapter 20 deals with image editing, and essentially it's a chapter about the GIMP, the GNU Image Manipulation Program, or the GNOME Image Manipulation Program. A little more in-depth about it. If many of you are familiar with GIMP, I am not so familiar with either GIMP or Photoshop, for that matter. All I know is that you can edit photos with GIMP. That happens to be the Windows equivalent to Photoshop. Again, I suppose that this topic is also a bit controversial. There are a lot of proponents of the GIMP software, but also there's a lot of proponents for Adobe Photoshop. It is, in fact, the de facto standard for photo manipulation in the Windows community, as well as in the OS X community. There's some pros and cons of using GIMP or of using Photoshop too, for that matter. Part 6 deals more in-depth with OpenOffice.org, the Office Suite replacement for Linux. And for the most part, I've used the presentation software a few times, a couple of times. I'm using it right now. And relatively the same, although not as many templates. Chapter 22 gives you an overview of OpenOffice.org, and then 23 through 27 takes you in depth into the word processing program, which is chapter 23, the spreadsheet program, which is chapter 24. Chapter 25 is the presentation software called Impress, and chapter 26 is the database program called Base, and of course the mail program, similar to a Microsoft Outlook, is Evolution. Now, chapter 28 deals with running Microsoft Office under Ubuntu. And of course, the way you could do that is through the software package called Wine. In this chapter, it will take you through installing and configuring Wine. This may be a little bit outdated because many of their references reference Ubuntu 5.10 Breezy Badger. And, of course, we're coming upon the new release of EDGIEFT 6.10. So it may not be totally relevant. Still, it can provide you a framework of installing and configuring Wine. Chapter 7 deals with keeping your system running, some daily maintenance kinds of things, some maintenance things that you can do for your system. For example, Chapter 29 goes through installing software, either through apt-get or through Synaptic Package Manager. I also did a podcast about installing software using the three ways to get software through the repositories. One through the command line interface, one through the Synaptic Package Manager, and one through direct download of tarball packages. Chapter 30 deals with managing users. Again, it takes you through what a root user is. Chapter 31 talks about optimizing your system. You can speed up your booting, optimize initializations, some really unique ways to shorten the time it takes to boot up your system, and also to repair some problems and optimizing your hard disk. You know, in Windows, those kinds of things are often overlooked, especially the aspect of booting up in Windows. However, you know, for years and years and years, Windows has had scan disk modules and defragmentation software, you know, hard disk optimization software, either from third party or Windows Microsoft itself packaged along with their operating system. This book offers you a way of optimizing your computer and your system under Linux. Chapter 32 is backing up your data, and 33 talks about scheduling your tasks, and 34 talks about accessing your computers remotely through either a LAN or a virtual private network. Now, I'm going to read off the appendixes that is provided for you, and I think chapter 28 and the last few chapters, along with the first three appendices, are reason enough to just get the book. You know, and the book is relatively cheap. You can get it for about $20. You know, it's mostly discounted now because of its age. But certainly it's available relatively cheap. But with that being said, the information in this book is also freely available on the Ubuntu forums or on the Ubuntu wiki. And really, Google does a really good job of helping you find information about Ubuntu and finding you help with certain predicaments that you're already in. Now, before I go any further, let's talk about the appendices. Appendix A is the glossary of Linux terms, and this tells you exactly what what does a colon mean in Linux? Okay, what does the slash mean in Linux? Okay, it takes you from the A to Z. Okay, what does alias mean? What is alias all about? Appendix B, you know, I would almost pay $10 or $15 just for this part of the book, the Bash Command Index. This gives you a short synopsis of all the Bash commands available to Ubuntu user. It'll give you the command name, a description of the command, some command options, and examples of the use of the command. And really, I believe it's helpful. Appendix C is getting further help, and Appendix D has other versions of Ubuntu. And for those of you who are new or potential users, Ubuntu comes in several different flavors. Kubuntu, that's with a K, and it uses the K desktop environment. Edubuntu, which is for educational institutions and is mostly bundled with educational software or software that benefits educational establishments. Ubuntu Server, it's a version of Ubuntu for use in file servers and web servers. And Xubuntu, X-U-B-U-N-T-U, which is a distribution that uses the XFCE user interface. And XFCE is known for being a little bit faster than equivalent GNOME systems. So, as far as recommending the book, it has been useful to me. I will tell you that. But caution, the information in the book may be a little outdated because of the version of Ubuntu that they are referencing. Again, though, a lot of the things that they reference here about Ubuntu are mainly in the first, I would say, six chapters. And really, the first chapters 4, 5, and 6, and maybe a couple in part 3, chapters 7 and 8. It has been helpful to me. And as far as making a recommendation, I choose to let you make your own decision about that. This is certainly not a... I'm certainly not a book reviewer by any stretch of the imagination, but I'm just here to give you just a short and hopefully informational overview of what this book was all about. And maybe if you found it helpful, who knows, you might want to pick it up. But if not, all the information in this book is freely available at the Ubuntu forums and Ubuntu wiki, and again, so many support groups and other websites that offer help and whatnot. So, I hope you enjoyed that, and thank you very much. That should do it for our book review. Okay, and that ought to wrap things up for this week. I just want to thank you very much for joining me, and I just want to say a couple of things about my subscribership. It's growing by leaps and bounds every day, and I would certainly appreciate it if you would stop by the website, freshubuntu.blogspot.com, and maybe leave a comment, or you can even email me at freshubuntu@gmail.com. And believe me, I read all my email and respond to them as well. So with that being said, I would really appreciate a vote on Podcast Alley for this podcast. And I think Podcast Alley is probably – Podcast Alley and iTunes is a good venue for getting more subscribers. Just to spread the word – please feel free, if you have a chance to, if you're on iTunes or Podcast Alley, please feel free to vote for me. I would certainly appreciate it much. This should end it for this week. I thank you very much for subscribing to the podcast. I hope you have an excellent week this week. I know this time of year can be very hectic as we're starting school. Fiscal years have just begun and that kind of thing. But I do hope that things have settled down by now, or that you have at least gotten used to the routine. I thank you very much for subscribing, and I will talk to you again soon. Goodbye.